Acts chapter 27, going to share a message about surviving the shipwreck of life. The shipwreck of life. So how do you survive the shipwreck that comes into our lives? Well, we're going to see that here in Acts 27 in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's a lengthy passage. I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't, listen very carefully. I'll just probably read it one time. It's rather lengthy, but we're going to use 27th chapter of the book of Acts and begin in verse number 1. Acts 27, 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Nudus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt, and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south and southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I'll say more about that word later. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th day was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. That's 276 people, if you just do your math on that one. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and the remaining unmovable, but the hinder part was broken up with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You know, you would think that after all Paul had been through, after all that Paul had faced, it would seem to me that this trip now from Caesarea to Rome should have been smooth sailing for Paul, wouldn't you think? After all he had been through, shouldn't this be a time he ought to have some smooth sailing to Rome? Wrong. Paul was about to enter one of the most harrowing experiences of his whole life. He was about to be shipwrecked in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea. It's in this passage that we're going to see the great faith and the great courage that the Apostle Paul had got him through the storm and got him through the shipwreck just as well. Now, most of us will never experience a storm such as the one we read about here in the life of the Apostle Paul. But shipwreck is just as real in the sea as it is in our life, isn't it? The shipwreck in our lives is just as real as a shipwreck in the sea. You know, over the many years, I know you have too, you pull up behind a vehicle and you see a bumper sticker. You're going to read it, aren't you? I mean, you can't help yourself. You're going to read a bumper sticker. And you've seen these bumper stickers that says, "I'd rather be skiing, hiking, fishing, hunting, sailing, golfing, all kinds of things on these bumper stickers. I'd rather be doing whatever." But there's one bumper sticker I have never seen, and I doubt that I ever will, and you probably won't either. I've never seen a bumper sticker say, "I'd rather be shipwrecked." Have you ever seen one of those? No, you won't. No, you never will. Well, let me share something with you from my heart. The closest I have ever come to experiencing what the Apostle Paul experienced here as far as shipwreck's concerned was many years ago. I'm talking probably close to 30 years ago. My sons and I and some friends took a fishing trip down to New Bern to fish the Neuse River. There was five boats in all, five bass boats. And we went out to fish. And just like Paul's trip started, just a very beautiful day, a real calm, you know, water, the tide was flowing great, just a wonderful day for fishing. So we go out and we split up and go different places up the Neuse River, because there's so many tributaries you can fish. We split their boats up. Well, little did we know that it was a horrible storm that was in the making. And we didn't know about it. And the storm came up the Neuse River, and it was a tornado that also accompanied it. And the winds were so fierce and the waves got terrible in the Neuse River that we felt we needed to get over to the side, at least ride it out at, you know, to shore. Well, the boat wouldn't start. Motor wouldn't crank. And here come the waves over the back of this bass boat. I mean, wind blowing waves up into our boat. It filled up the bass boat. Our tackle boxes floated. I looked at Keith Carrigan, who I was fishing with. This was his boat. He just got the engine out of the shop the day before, and here it wouldn't run. Had a trolling motor, wouldn't do much. I said, "Keith, this might be it for us, son." He's a preacher's son. He said, "Well, I'm ready to go, but I'd rather not go today if I could help it." I thought, well, we don't have that choice. But we were able to get the trolling motor to limp us over to shore. And we got out of the ship, a little boat, tied it up, and we got under the huge root ball of a huge oak tree that had uprooted in the storm. And we got hunkered down under that big root ball till the storm passed. Well, by that time, the other boats had got back to the dock, and we didn't show up, and they thought, what's happened to them? So they started sending out the other ships, hunting us, you know, for what happened to us. Well, we started after the storm left. We took cans and started dipping water out of the boat. The bilge pump wouldn't dip it fast enough. We had to dip it out by hand. We finally got the water down enough where we could start with the trolling motor toward the dock. They found us, to make the story short. They towed us back to dock safely. That was an occasion where I could relate somewhat to what the Apostle Paul might have felt here when Luke writes in verse 20. If you look at verse 20, what Luke said, he said, "When all hope of being saved was lost, was gone." Well, I wouldn't have given you 2 cents for our lives that day. But nonetheless, God got us through. But you see how quickly storms in our lives, shipwreck can come. Life can be go so smoothly. All of a sudden change can come along and you're least expecting it, and there it is. Life can become emotionally, spiritually, financially, materially, personally shipwrecked in a moment of time, can it? It certainly can. See, the shipwreck in life is just as real as a shipwreck on the water. So, how do you survive life's shipwrecks? Well, remember this. Paul and his men on the ship, there was 275 men plus Paul, which was 276. They experienced on the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, what we would call today the perfect storm. If you remember a year or two or three ago, there was a perfect storm. They called it a perfect storm that went up the east coast and formed off the east coast, northeast coast. And you remember how that all the hurricane force winds and all the waves beat in on New England, how it just ravaged the whole New England seacoast. Well, that's the kind of storm here that Paul and his men met. It's called a Euroclydon, which we would say today something similar to a hurricane, or in the Pacific, it would be called a typhoon. But nonetheless, it was a perfect storm, horrible storm that it was. And it raged, as the scriptures say, it just raged on and on and on and on. And the sailors who manned the ship did all they could do. They fought the storm, they drove the sails, they did everything possible that you could do in those days to keep the ship on course and keep it from crashing. And you got to remember, the ship they were sailing on was not like ships today. This was a wooden craft with a canvas sail, hardly any navigational devices that we'd have today, not near as safe a ship as you'd have today. So, as they tried their best to steer the ship sail the ship through the storm with no progress whatsoever. The scriptures say they let down four anchors from the stern of the ship. Now, the front of the ship is the bow. The back of the ship is the stern. The left-hand side of the ship is the port. The right-hand side is the port and starboard. But they let down four anchors out the back of this boat to try to keep the ship in some kind of position to where the ship wouldn't just be tossed and probably beaten to pieces. To keep the ship from being broken up, if you will. Well, these four anchors that they let out the back of the ship reminds me of some things. In our lives, when shipwreck or storms of our life come, those four anchors that they let out remind me of some things in our lives that we need to take real serious consideration of, and four things in our lives that will help us, and they're typified to me in these four anchors that they let out. Now, remember, they got to shore. They got through the storm. The ship was lost. The ship was battered and beaten to pieces on a reef where those two seas met. But nonetheless, remember, all 276 men survived that shipwreck. Every single one of them. And just like Paul said, not a hair on their head was lost. That's amazing. It's astounding to see that. So if there were some anchors in our life that we could throw out, so to speak, four things in our life that we could throw out to stabilize our life, help us get through the storms, help us in the shipwrecks of life, wouldn't you want to know what they were? Wouldn't you want to employ those things in your life to help you? Not if, but when those storms come, they're going to come. And that so-called Euroclodon, that perfect storm, that most horrible storm, it's going to come in your life and mine at some point in time. Wouldn't you like to know how to survive through that? Let me share with us how to do that. Four anchors you need to throw out in your life to help you get through the storms and help you with the shipwrecks of life. Here they are. First anchor is the anchor of stability. Look at verses 20 through verse 26, chapter 27. Verse 20 through 26. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harmful loss. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them which sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. You've got to have the anchor of stability in your life when the storms come or the shipwreck happens in your life. You've got to have that. Why do I say that? Stability in our lives hold us firm when our navigation devices fail us. And they will. It's real easy to lose your way, lose your bearings in a storm. The worst place I've ever been involved in losing your bearings is in fog. It's a horrible thing. You've got to have some kind of stability. Well, we don't seem sometimes to be able to navigate our way through life's circumstances, do we? They come upon us suddenly, they come here and they're there, and they're a critical state automatically. Luke says in verse 20, when all hope that we were going to be saved was gone, they were goners, they were sure of it. They were not one of them going to survive. Listen, it's when you get to that point in your life when you think you've done all you can, know all you do, know all you knew to do, and then you still got no progress, no remedy, no answer, no closure, no victory, that's when God says, listen. Listen to me. I've got a plan. Paul, you tell them, not one of them is going to be lost. Not one hair on their head is going to be harmed. I have given all 275 men on that ship. I've given them, Paul, to you. You tell them that they're not going to be lost. And Paul quickly stands up and he says, men, listen, I've heard from the Lord. This night an angel of God stood by me and told me that we would not be lost. All hope that we should be saved was gone. No, no, no. God said, all hope that we're going to be saved is there. You're stable. Don't worry about it. You're going to make it through. Don't give up. God's got a plan. You're going to make it. You're not going to be lost. You're not going to be drowned. You're going to make it through. You know, we find stability in our lives by believing what God said. Paul said, God said, we're going to make it. And by God's grace, we're going to make it. And who made it? All of them. You've got to have stability in your life when storms come, and you've got to believe what God said. Don't go to any other source for information. Go to what God said, and what God said you can depend on. It'll bring stability in your life. It's the only anchor that'll hold your life stable in the midst of the storm. Have you ever read Isaiah 43, 1, 2, and 3? Go over there. Go to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to show you something. I know he's saying this, these are words of Isaiah to Israel, but they apply just as much to you and I as it did to Israel. Isaiah 43, 1, 2, and 3. Listen to this. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Look at this now. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Holy, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore have given men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. God said to Israel, you're going to make it. When you go through the waters and the terrible rivers, Jordan, they crossed, you remember? The Red Sea, they went through, you remember? When you pass through the waters, they passed through the Red Sea. When you go through the troubled rivers of old Jordan, it's in a flood stage, they got through. Every single Israelite got through. Not one was lost. I will be with you, he said. And when you pass through the fire, look at the Hebrew children. They didn't even come out of that furnace with a smell of smoke on their clothes. I'll be with you, he said. You're going to make it. I have created you. I love you. I'm going to take you through. The stability that you need in the storms of your life is to believe what God said. Listen to me. You will make it through. Upon the authority of God's Word, you will get through. Why do I say that? Because God said that. God said, Paul, I've given them to you. God said to Israel, you're going to make it through. God says to us in the same words, you're going to make it. Don't give up. I've got a plan, and my plan always works. Well, it got Paul through. It got those 275 other men through. It got Israel through. What makes you think that you won't get through? You'll get through. So you need the anchor of stability, first of all. Then the second anchor I think you need in life is the anchor of unity. Look at verse 27 through verse 32 there in Acts 27. Verses 27 through 32. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, The shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. This storm that they were in the midst of was breathing life-threatening fear in everyone on that ship. Don't the storms of life do the same thing to us? Brings life-threatening fear to us that we're not going to make it. All hope that we were going to be saved is lost. How am I going to get through, Lord? I don't know how I'm going to make it. Their imagination just began to run wild about what was going to take place. Well, immense panic came over all of them. Paul knew that the only way they were going to be saved was to stay in that ship. If one man left that ship, it would be great loss to everybody else, because God said, stay in the ship. All 276 of you, stay in the ship. The secret to their survival was staying in the ship, staying unified, staying in unity with one another. So they decided they'd just let down the little dinghies, we'd call them today, and they'd just flee the ship. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Jumping overboard when your storms come, fleeing the problem, is no way to survive a storm. That's not the way you do it. Tell you why it's not. Listen, if they'd let down that little boat, and went off to themselves, they would have alienated them from the help that God had promised them through Paul. If you do what normally we do when things come into our lives, here's what we do. It's all too true to us. Problems come, storms come. The first thing we want to do is we want to cut and run. Get away. Lock the door. Get by yourself. Get alienated. Listen, beloved. You're not going to make it like that. You're just not going to make it that way. That's no way to survive a storm. Can I get a witness? Amen. Is that not right? Amen. So they begin to sound the depth of the water. And they sounded first of all and found it 20 fathoms. Unless I miss my navigational stuff, a fathom is 6 feet. So 20 fathoms is what? 160 feet. So they come a little farther and they sound again and it's 15 fathoms. So they know they're approaching either some rocks or a shore or a reef or something, because the water was getting shallower as they went along. So they were in terrible fear of an imminent shipwreck. So the fear intensified to the point that they wanted to let the ships, the little dinghies off the side, get in it, and every man flee for himself, every man fend for himself. Well, beloved, listen, not going to make it that way. But people do it. They find a problem, a storm, a shipwreck, and the first thing they want to do is just, like I said, cut and run away. Listen to me. That is no way to survive a storm. They alienate themselves, and pretty soon that depression that they go through gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And so many people today turn from that to alcohol, some turn to drugs, and some even turn to suicide. It's on the rise. We know that it is. We just sink lower in depression. So we need support. We need to be in unity. We need support of our families, our friends, our church family, and most of all, we need God's Word. We need that. God's Word, unity, is the second anchor that we talk about here. Oh, it's easier to lower the boat and get in it by yourself and sail off into the sunset, but you're not going to make it. Just as Paul said to these men, listen, escape from this ship is not the answer. To cut and run is not the answer. We need to heed the same warning that he gave them. We need to be unified, not alienated. So he said, don't leap off the boat. Don't try to make it on your own. You're not going to make it. Do you know why I say that? If you try to make it on your own, you're not going to make it. Most likely you won't. Here's why. God designed us to make it together, not alone. Why does the Bible say no man's an island? No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Why does the Bible say that if it doesn't mean we need unity? We need to stick together in storms and shipwrecks of our lives. By God's grace, we'll make it together. So we need the anchor of stability. We need the anchor of unity. But the third anchor is it. We need the anchor of certainty. In chapter 27, look at verse 33 through 36. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. He said, saying, this day is a 14th day that you have tarried in continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. They had fought this storm with everything they had for 2 weeks, 14 days, and taken very little, if any, food in 14 days. Can you imagine that? Going through a horrible typhoon or a hurricane and not having hardly any sustenance for 14 days? Do you realize that's how most of us respond to storms in our life? We run ourselves dry trying to fight the storm on our own. Well, what happens to us when we do that? We end up like they would have been, emotionally drained, physically weak, unable to sleep many times. The anchor of certainty really guards us against that happening to us. We need that anchor of certainty. The Bible says, Paul said, men, you need to eat something. You need to take some nourishment. So Paul took some meat, some food, and Paul no doubt lifted it up toward heaven. The Bible says he thanked God for the food. He prayed. And I'm sure those men on that ship, some of them prayed the first time in their life. Some of them might have prayed for a long time ago, but I'll bet you all the men on that ship were right along with Paul when he lifted up and gave thanks to God. They were praying if they'd never prayed before. They prayed that day. And so Paul gave thanks for the food, and he began to eat. And then all the men on ship took great courage, great cheer, the Bible says, from what Paul's example was, and they began to eat as well. The anchor of certainty. You're going to be okay. Not a hair on your head's going to be lost. Take some nourishment. Listen to me. When you're going through storms, shipwrecks in your life, emotional problems, whatever they may be, nourishment is very vitally important to your welfare. It really is. Our spiritual nourishment is important. Our physical nourishment is very, extremely important. It's crucial if you want to say the word. Paul assured them that they were going to be okay. Not a hair on their head was going to be lost. That's pretty good certainty, wouldn't you say? God told me you're going to be safe. God told me further, not a hair on your head is going to be lost. And they're in the middle of a hurricane. And yet he gave them the certainty that none of them were going to be lost. And the Bible says a great calm came over these men's life. Paul's great influence, his faith, his courage was exhibited before them, and a great calm came over them. And the Bible says such a profound effect that all the other ship people began to eat something too, gain nourishment. So we need the anchor of stability. We need the anchor of unity. We need the anchor of certainty. But there's a fourth anchor I want to share with you. We need the anchor of reality. Look at verse 41 through verse 44. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, folks, listen, reality really struck this crew and Paul. I mean, when reality struck, it struck hard. The ship was nosedived, you might say, into between two places where two seas meet and stuck in the sand or stuck in the mud or stuck in something. It was unmovable, the Bible says. Then the waves beat upon the back of the ship and just beat the ship to pieces. Just literally broke the ship apart. And all wanted to abandon ship then. They wanted to kill all the prisoners and just escape the best way every man could. Let's just make it on our own. Paul had just told them the reality of the whole matter is this. You've got to stay on the ship. You can't jump overboard. You can't cut and run yourself. The reality is you've got to all be involved, engaged in this. You've got to stay together. The reality is you can't leave the ship. But the Bible says the ship was broken up and they were all cast into the sea. Now let's do some math here. How many people started that voyage? 276. How many of them were cast into the sea when the ship broke up? 276. How many of them got to land? 276. Every one of them had to be engaged in God's plan for the whole lot to be saved. No one here was promised. Now, hear me well. Nobody on that ship was promised a magical escape. And listen to me, beloved, there's no such thing as a magical escape for any of us when storms of life hit us and shipwreck our lives. It's a reality. It's a fact. It's true. You can't just fold your arms this way for the storm to go over. It'll take you under. You've got to be engaged in things. Sometimes, over the years, I've had to counsel many, many hours with some people who had gone through shipwrecks and storms of life. And they had to be engaged in counseling to get their life right back on track to where it really needed to be. It might take that for you. I don't know. It might take realizing you made a bad decision in your life. You've taken a wrong turn in your life. You made a bad action in your life. And you may have to rearrange your life and change your course of life to get it straight. But you've got to be engaged in it. Sometimes compassionate counseling is wonderful. Sometimes people have to make different decisions. Better choices get better results. Amen? Amen? They sure do. Well, whatever the case, you're going to have to be engaged in it. That's a reality. That's just a reality. You've got to get involved. It means throwing out the anchors of stability. Throw out the anchor of unity. Throw out the anchor of certainty. And throw out the anchor of reality. And depend on God to get you through. All these men, all 276, made it to land. And all 276 of those men had one thing in common when they got to land. You know what it was? They were all soaking wet. Every one of them was soaking wet, but they all got there safely, didn't they? No one, listen to me, no one wants to be shipwrecked at sea. I certainly don't, and I'm sure you don't either. I've never been at sea to the point of being shipwrecked. I've been at sea before and had some little squalls, but nothing like this. Nobody wants to be shipwrecked at sea. And listen, nobody wants to be shipwrecked in life either, do we? It's just as real as if you own the sea. The secret of surviving storms and the shipwreck of your life, listen to me, is in what preparation you do when the waters are calm. When smooth sailing's taking place, that's a time to prepare these four anchors, because listen to me, the storm's going to come. It's going to come to your life. It's come to my life. It's going to come to every single one of us at some point in time. So the important thing to remember is this. While you're not in the storm, while your life is not shipwrecked, take time to examine those anchors, prepare those anchors, have them ready to throw out when the storm comes. That way you can respond like Paul, in faith and courage, not in fear. Not in fear. Fear is our greatest tool that I know that the devil uses against us. Well, if you'll do that, if you'll prepare when the waters are calm, prepare when the sailing is smooth and calm. Get them ready. When the storm comes, listen to me, you'll be glad you made preparation. Amen.